Welcome to Notes from the Electronic Cottage. I'm Jim Campbell. Well, it's summer in Maine, and as is our custom here at the Electronic Cottage, from time to time over the summer, we'll rebroadcast a program from the recent past so that those who might be visiting can give it a listen, and those who may have heard it before and may wish to do so again can. So, here goes. Welcome to Notes from the Electronic Cottage. I'm Jim Campbell. Most of us have probably heard about Volkswagen's troubles with its diesel engines. It seems that in order to provide buyers with better mileage, Volkswagen's diesel engines pollute a lot more than Volkswagen said they did. Interestingly, it took years for this to come to light. Since many states, Maine is not one of them, check for emissions as part of their yearly or every other year inspection process, and since the EPA tests new car models before they hit the showrooms, how the heck did all those cars get through those inspection processes? The answer, of course, is a software trick. And since the trick has been discovered, Volkswagen is in a world of hurt as lawsuits for fraud from both consumers and state authorities pile up. As Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton pointed out in a lawsuit, Volkswagen's so-called clean diesel engine vehicles, quote, meet emission standards only in the laboratory or testing stations, but during normal operation, the cars emit nitrogen oxides at up to 40 times the allowable standard, end quote. In other words, Volkswagen's clean diesel cars had software installed in them that could sense when authorities plugged into the cars to test their engine efficiency and the amount of pollution that the engines would generate. Once the tests were over, the software reprogrammed the engine to pollute more to achieve higher gas mileage. Meanwhile, you might have seen one of several videos that Tesla car owners posted to YouTube, in which the owners use Tesla's driver assist technology to do all sorts of loopy and very dangerous things on the road. Tesla was appalled, and rightly so. The only thing its technology didn't account for was stupid humans. Tesla immediately announced that they would put a stop to those shenanigans. How? Once again, through software automatically updated to those cars. New car models are making their way into automobile dealers' showrooms around the country these days, and, as a number of security experts have pointed out, cars today are pretty much computers on wheels. A several-year-old Ford Explorer, for example, generates 500 megabytes of data per hour. A new Ford Fusion Energy model generates about 25 gigabytes of data an hour. That's enough data to produce a high-definition full-length movie every hour or two. In fact, a typical car today has about 70 different computer systems in it and runs upwards of 70 million lines of computer code. Much of the software that we use on our desktop computers doesn't even require that much code. Car makers and others are eager to put even more computational power into cars. Honda has expanded its research and development facility in Silicon Valley, and Toyota is about to invest $1 billion, that's right, $1 billion, to open an artificial intelligence research facility in Silicon Valley, and plans to hire at least 200 scientists from the tech-rich environs out there. Some companies, like Google, don't want to deal with the nudniks like the Tesla owners who posted those idiot videos on YouTube. Their solution? Make driverless cars that are really driverless. No steering wheels and no brake pedals. Just software. Of course, all of these developments are in the name of an, quote, improved automotive experience for consumers, and also, of course, for improved safety on the road. For example, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, a part of the U.S. Department of Transportation, is in the process of developing a mandate that would require that cars talk to one another while they're on the road to reduce accidents. That's called vehicle-to-vehicle, or V2V, communication. According to that agency, quote, V2V allows cars to talk to one another, exchanging basic safety-relevant data, such as speed, direction, and relative position, 10 times per second. When cars share this information at such a fast rate, they can see all of the vehicles around them, sense the possibility of a crash, and warn drivers to avoid the crash. End quote. It's no surprise that V2V capability, when it becomes law, will naturally require even more software. Perhaps those listening who grew up accustomed to fixing their own cars are beginning to feel some unease in the pits of their stomachs listening to all this news. It may be possible for backyard mechanics to change a flat tire and perhaps change their oil on today's and tomorrow's cars, but that will probably be about it. Tune the engine? Probably not, unless you have a computer science background and a lot of computer diagnostic software. Even smaller auto repair shops are feeling the pressure. As one mechanic who closed down his shop put it, "I want to work on cars, not computers." Unfortunately, for some small shops and most do-it-yourselfers, those days are past. The improved automotive experience for new car buyers and drivers, and the supposed improvements in highway safety of cars that talk to one another, are all due to software and to an explosion of generated and collected data. As we all know, software and data have their weaknesses too, and we'll look into some of those that might be a surprise on a future edition of Notes from the Electronic Cottage.